This is Contaste, brought to you fresh from Norway.
Brought to you by people like us and Ergo Fizmis.
First, the non-toxic cod paste. It comes in tubes and is made up by cod roe or fish eggs. It's a pink salty spread that goes well with hard-boiled eggs.
Playlists and archives for this are at wfmu.org/playlist/CT. And this week we're talking about voice sampling and sound poetry. We both do an awful lot of that.
A Norwegian smørgåsbord usually has some cod paste. Norwegians call it caviar, but it's not to be confused with the Russian caviar.
And,
what's the title of this week's show?
It's called Fimsbøvø, which is a line from Kurt Schwitter's Ur Sonata.
Ah, yes, it is. Not the way I said it, it wasn't.
How did you say it?
Fimsbøvø.
But I remember the first time I heard sound poetry, I thought it was just the funniest thing that I'd heard. It didn't make me think of avant-garde music, but it reminded me of The Goon Show and British comedy from the 50s, and in which they're always experimenting with made-up words and things like Stanley Unwin.
Early forms of self-expression manifest themselves in painting. And, of course, you had the woad, where the early ancient Britters, which philolloped the stuff all over their form, both in glistening rebbers of ochre, deep bloom of the stone, which they have clay cave in the southern parts of the Tinsel Manor and all round the Sicily Islode, they gathered this and just sclabbered it on, and from a distance you could see the scintillators of the people who expressed themselves in this way. On the continent, you had the Altamira murals and 50,000 feet fathom they laboured, and expressed in a deep, fine bull drawing on the worm. And later, of course, romantic art, after this was discovered, they had the early Italian schooners, I think, not to confuse with Confucius of the Chinese influx, which is very far removed, and of course Confucius sailed very close to the wind on these forms of expression. The Italians, I think, were at their best at the time with the romantic scum of the Botticelli and the Venus de Milo, of course, and nothing to misconstrue of ugly in these deep classical 4D forms. Leonardo da Vinci's and the Pre-Raphaelites to Dale, which gave of the Burne-Jones, Millais, Rossetti, and there they did, for the mixing of the palettes, they had the embryo clubs of an egg, which is holding the colours together, Wodi again, and the ochre dust, which they gathered together in Sicilian crapers, mixed this half for lulping on the satchel itself. But the canvas was used there with the camel hode or hair brushy, which they dipped it in, and also flourished in the arm pegger, and wore little flat habits like a beret, and the short whiskers, of course. But what about the trend? You see, when the modern school did the interpretale with a pastiche like a Van Gogh, he would do a fine sunshine drenchy. Now, he would, to express in a sunflower, would do a grope of the brown, scrittle high the side of the petalos in a deep yellow expressi, and in the back grove, possibly a cypress tree and a small individual of little flower dangling in the garbage.
Once you turn on to the playing of words as an art form, it starts to seep over into all the other kind of art forms and all the other ways that people use words. And after a while, even in the most popular shallow forms, you see and hear patterns that could be construed as sound poetry, and it's only the context that makes it not the case. I supported Jaap Blonk in 1996, my first concert abroad, in fact, because we were on the same label, so I'd heard of him, but I didn't know anything about him. I'd just seen his face on a cover, which kind of, his face can translate very well into the sounds he makes, actually. But when I saw him play, I actually went and stood outside because I thought I didn't understand it, because I was wanting to smile because, well, I just was. I could give some explanations why now. But I went and stood outside because everyone was deadly serious who were watching it. So it's a shame, really, because I felt alienated by the audience, but not by him. And if anything, it should be him that's alienating you, not the audience. Another piece I love, which really changes your consciousness when you listen to it, is 9/11, Desperation is the Mother of Laughter, which we're hearing underneath, The Laughing, by Leif Elgren and Thomas Lilienberg. And it's just under a whole hour of
then forcibly laughing. And it's quite an amazing thing to listen to, and you'd think that it would be quite boring to listen to that, much like listening to An Hour of Them Sleeping, which is another of their pieces entitled Wings. But in fact, it's quite mind-changing, because it's he's tearing something apart, which is so much a part of our daily life, unless we're miserable.
Jaap Blonk do a sonata, I was in a completely different state of mind by the time he'd finished it. I felt like he'd untangled it all. He'd untangled all the shackles of language and expression, conformity as well. And I mean, I don't know anything about the history of sound poetry, but I mean, I've not read about why people did things.
Yeah,
I still don't
really
know
for
why.
For what you said then, really, people like the Dadaists and things were doing it to liberate language and expression from within its constraints that had evolved and developed and that wasn't tied down to these linguistic rules, and so create a more direct form of expression. And at the same time, it's taking the human voice, not singing but you know, I suppose speaking, into an area that's far more musical, because a piece of sound poetry, as much as being poetry, is a piece of music.
Australian run.
Tippy, 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 tippy.
It was only through it being presented as music.
Yeah.
As pure sound. Mm. And being able to approach it as a sound form, that it fitted in with that. Mm-hmm. You could almost play a game of consequences about who you think of next, and it could be any kind of music. Mm. For instance, like, I said Paul Dutton, then I said Senko Nyamchuk. Now I say that, who do you think of?
Who do I think of?
Let's play musical consequences.
I'd guess things like Namjoon. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Not Pike. It's probably Pike, actually. But yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And
it matters very much. Who cares?
Yeah. The things I've heard of him going,
And then I would think of Zatumba from that. Well, that also makes me think of, there's a cartoon character who does that.
The Tasmanian Devil. Yes.
How does he go?
He goes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that sounds like Inuit.
Yeah.
Can you do Inuit?
I can try. What do they do? Oh, they go like that, don't they? And that's like Kachak, the Indonesian world, all the men get together, and some of them go, in unison, they all go, chaka chaka chaka
monkey charm.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have a little, I always picture a very tiny little man, about 3 foot tall, like,
and you know who that sounds like?
Slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wake. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the moon rafts outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, Long time the man some foe he sought. So rested he by the
And stood a while in thought.
The Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the pokey wood.
With eyes of flame, came whiffling through the togy wood.
He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing
back. One, two, and through.
Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, Kalu Kalay, he chortled in his joy.
And with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy.
And the mome rats outgrave.
But the thing about sound is, the thing, I guess the point of this, if there is one, is sound poetry is as much music as anything else is, in terms of it being part of a family, and it's not separate. But the thing about art is there's many, many people who want it to be separate.
Yeah.
And want it to be elitist.
Yeah.
And they've got a vested interest in that, in making them look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone wants to compartmentalise eye.
And they want to alienate people as well, because they want to form cliques.
Yeah. They want to feel important.
Yes.
And clever.
Yes, but they're not.
No.
No.
So you're listening. You're not clever.
You're not important.
And you're not important.
And it's not funny.
So.
You've been listening to another edition of Codpaste by people like us and Ergo Fismas on WFMU.org.
Hello, Norway!
Thank you, thank you.